when we lived in Lubbock, we would go in the afternoon to take communion to this couple. And from the moment you set foot into this apartment, the lady would talk nonstop. Kind of like this. Watch the guy's mouth. It doesn't stop. It just goes on and on and on. And matter of fact, we almost had to be, well, no, almost about it. We had to be rude to say, well, we're going to say a prayer for the bread right now. And we'd say a prayer, and as soon as we were done, she started right back in. And we had to interrupt her again to say, we're going to say a prayer for the... And I noticed that her husband would sit there the whole time, and I decided, I'm going to ask him some questions. And so I would ask him a question, and he kind of looked like a deer stuck in the headlights. See, he wasn't used to it. He just kind of went, and he paused too long. And she jumped right in and just blah, 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 and she answered the question for him. Well, and I decided I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep asking him. And he caught on after a while, and he would start talking right away, but it didn't matter. She would start talking right over him. And I thought about that, and I think there ought to be a connection between what we say and how we listen. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are blessed in so many ways. We truly are. Our biggest blessings, Lord, are our spiritual blessings. The most important, the eternal blessings, that we are your children, that we have a hope that is far superior to anything we might have to face in this life. Far superior to any in the things of this life that we get so wrapped up in sometimes. Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear you, to listen to you. We pray, Almighty God, that you would open our ears, that you might be glorified in the things that we say. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. We're going to look at the route that Jesus took, just to kind of get an idea, so if you'll follow Jesus. Goes up to Tyre, Sidon, and then back down to the land of the Decapolis. That's a lot of land that he covered. Verse 31. Again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. The last time Jesus was here was when he cast out the legion. If you remember the story, the guy was possessed by a lot of demons, living in the tombs, running around naked, a little bit crazy. And Jesus cast out that demon. Now, after that whole story, the man wanted to go with Jesus. Probably wanted to be his disciple. And Jesus told him to stay and tell everything that the Lord had done for him. Which is unusual, because often in the book of Mark, we see Jesus saying, don't tell anybody. This guy, he says, go and tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. And it's also important to realize that the last time Jesus was here, his reception was not real good. They saw a power that they could not understand, and it terrified them, and they said, we want you to leave. And we come across that a lot today. There are people who see that same kind of power, and instead of seeing it as a good thing, they see it as something that is terrifying, and they want us to leave. Well, that's what Jesus faced last time he was here. Decapolis means 10 cities. Deca and polis, that's 10 cities. It is a loose confederation, a loose agreement. The cities kept their autonomy, and they were self-governed. But they had this agreement. If one gets attacked, the other cities will join in and help them. There's a lot of reasons why that might have happened. It may be because of there was a lot of conflict between this region and the Jews. Alexander Janus, before 73 BC, I don't know exactly when, but he invaded this territory and conquered three of the cities. Now, when Pompey conquers Israel in 66 BC, he gives that land back to them. And so you can imagine that they might want to say, well, we want to make sure that doesn't happen again. And that's possible. It's also possible that they were protecting themselves from marauding Arabs. And it's possible that it was both. Or there may have been other reasons. It may have been a trade thing or whatever. But the thing is that they had this loose alliance. They would protect each other. And it's also important to realize that this area is fairly hostile to Jews. Verse 32. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hands on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. Deaf can mean dull, but in this context, I think we're talking about deaf, and I think it's likely that he was born deaf, without the ability to hear. And as you can imagine, that makes it very difficult to speak. Now, apparently, this man had learned how to say a few things, but he did that with difficulty. And try to imagine, you can't hear what other people are saying. You can't hear what you're trying to say. And how hard that would be to communicate, to learn how to communicate. I think that's probably the situation here. And the group comes, and they bring this man to Jesus. Now, he may have no clue what's going on. They're just like grabbing him, and they're going, they're going to take him. And they can't tell him, we're going to take you to this guy that can heal. But notice the difference. Last time he was here, they were saying, Jesus, go away. Now they're bringing somebody to heal. One man made that difference. One person made that difference. And sometimes we think about being here in Bismarck, North Dakota, and how small the church is in North Dakota. And it can almost seem overwhelming. And I think in the midst of all of that, Jesus is still saying, go and tell everyone what the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
Don't worry about whether or not you're going to get the same success. That's not our deal. We might or we might not. Go tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. Now, if you're going to do that, you better have a pretty good idea what the Lord's done for you. But if you're a Christian, man, there's a whole lifetime of good that's come from that. I think Jesus does these things to communicate with the man. He does some pretty bizarre things. And he sticks his fingers in the guy's ear. How many of you like that? You remember when we were kids? And some of you probably still do this, because I know you. Yeah. Give people wet willy. Oh, isn't that great? Don't you just love how that feels? And then he spits. Now, okay, so I think he's trying to communicate to the guy. The guy can't hear. And he's letting him know, I'm going to heal your ears. I don't know if the guy got it or not, but I think he's trying to communicate to him. With the saliva is not in the Greek, by the way. I would like to suggest there is nothing in the Greek that suggests that Jesus actually touched the man's tongue with his saliva. Now, I don't know if he did or not. I'm just saying there's nothing in the language that tells us that. We know that he used his saliva to heal the blind man. I'm just not so sure that's what's going on here. Here's what I think is going on. I think he's still communicating with this guy. I think he's saying, whatever's in your mouth that's keeping you from talking, I'm going to get rid of it. And then he touches his tongue to make sure he understands. Now, I can't prove that. That's just my own personal guess. I don't know. But again, I think we need to be honest with the text. There is nothing in this text that says that he actually touched his saliva to the tongue. Now, he could have. I don't know. I'm just saying there's nothing here that tells us he did. But I think there's something to learn here. Because I think sometimes we just expect the world to get how we are. Don't we? Maybe we should do some explaining. I volunteered down at in Louisiana after Katrina hit. And I worked on these trucks. They're called IRFs. And we were feeding people. And I told the guy, you see, the Red Cross does not have any... They don't believe it's necessary to do spiritual help kind of stuff. Matter of fact, when we moved here, I called them. I said, I'm a volunteer. I would like to be a chaplain. They go, oh, we don't do that. Okay. Bye. But I was there, and I said, you know, I'm more than happy just to feed people, but I would really like to do some spiritual stuff with them. And the guy that was my supervisor, he understood that. He said, yes, that's great. Tell you what, next time we line up, the people line up, you go and talk to them. And so as I'm going, I meet this guy, and I said, hey, would it be okay if I pray with you? Instead of just saying, I'm going to pray for you. Would that be okay? And he's like, yes, I can't find my parents. I don't know where they're at. I can't get a hold of them. Would you be willing to pray for them? And I said, sure, let's do it. And then he started looking around. He said, this guy's going to pray for me. Come on. We had a whole huddle. And people are saying, pray for this, pray for this. I think sometimes if we just took a moment to explain what we're doing, we'd have better success. There's a guy that brought his friend to church, and he understood this. This guy had never been to church, his friend, so he decided, he's going to explain everything. And so they come into the auditorium, and this is, you know, we're going to have our Bible class here. We're going to study the Bible. We believe this is God's Word, and it's important. The guy said, okay, and they did the Bible class. Worship started, and he said, this is worship. We're going to praise God. They did the song. He said, these are the songs we sing, and we just love to sing our songs to God. And they talked to him about prayer, and the preacher got up. He says, this is the guy. He's going to give us a lesson from God's Word. The preacher reached over and took the watch off his hand and set it on the podium. His friend said, what does that mean? He said, not a thing. It doesn't mean anything today either. So... I think it's important that we communicate with people. I think it's important. You see, we sometimes assume that they just get us. The Bible calls us weird for a reason. The world does not just automatically get us. We need to spend some time trying to communicate the message in a language that they will understand. That means when we talk about love, we probably ought to back up and explain what that means, because to the world it means something completely different. Then Jesus sighed the deep sigh, and that can mean groan. Can mean kind of a complaint kind of thing. And again, maybe he's still communicating with this man. Maybe, you know, he looks up into heaven, and I think that's on purpose. I think he wants this man to understand that the power comes from God. And maybe he's groaning to let him know this is going to happen. I don't know. But again, the idea of communication is very important. And then he says, Ephphatha. That's why this is the Greek transliteration of Ephphatha. Take a look, memorize it. There will be a test later. You're going to have to spell it. Ephphatha is Aramaic. Now, here's the interesting thing. The guy he's talking to, not only can he not hear, he's not Jewish. Even if he could hear, he would not speak Aramaic. Doesn't matter. This is what Jesus spoke. Now, if he needed to, I'm sure that he could have spoke Greek or any other language to the man. But the guy cannot hear. That's why he went through the actions and the spitting and the touching of the tongue. And again, how many of us like people to touch our tongue? It was to communicate. And so he says Ephphatha, and that means to be opened. And the impediment of his tongue. First of all, his ears were opened, and then the impediment means bond or fetters were loosed. Removed means set free. I believe, personally, that the bond was the fact he could not hear. If you cannot hear, that puts a bond on your tongue. Does that make sense? I'm just talking off the side of my head. I don't know. I think that makes sense. If you can't hear, it puts a bond on your tongue, your ability to speak. That's important. Especially as we look at the spiritual applications. See, until we listen to God, we cannot speak plainly about God. Amen. Now, oh yeah, there are a lot of people who want to do a lot of talking about God. And they think they know what they're talking about. But they've done no time listening to God. And I'm not even talking about knowing scriptures, folks, because there are people who know scriptures that don't know God. There's a guy in Iowa, teaches at Iowa State. His name is Dr. Avalos. He teaches theology. He does not believe in God. Okay? I know that sounds odd, but in the academic world, that's not odd at all. He knows Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, German, all of these old languages to study the Word of God. He knows it a lot better than I probably ever will on this earth, but he doesn't know God because he's not listening to God. So I think that we need Jesus to open our ears. I think we need Jesus to open our ears so that we can speak more clearly. And sometimes we want to do the speaking before we've done the listening. The lady that I was talking about, I'm pretty sure she really doesn't have a clue who her husband is. Okay? Because he never gets a chance to say anything. But then she's more than willing to talk about who he is. And I believe that we make the same kinds of mistakes. We assume that we're the ones that are right. Everybody else is wrong. And we don't listen to what people say. And when we do that, I think we're cutting off knowledge. My friend Don is a Catholic. And he has taught me a lot. I hope that I've also taught him a lot. But the only way that's going to happen is if I put away my assumption that I have all the answers, because I don't. And I actually listen to what's being said. That's the only way that I can hear and understand and grow. I need to listen. We need to listen. There are those who do a lot of talking, but they don't really know what they're talking about because they don't listen. The guy that was a chaplain out there before I started, he would fit this category. He said things that just irritated me because I don't think he spent a lot of time studying God's word. He would say things like, you know, Paul was a fisherman. Okay, that may seem minor, but that just irritates me. I mean, good grief, that's a pretty basic thing. I know it doesn't change anything really, but he wasn't a fisherman. Peter was. Andrew was. John. You know, those guys were fishermen. The problem is that there are a lot of people that will spend a lot of time of speaking, but they've never done any time listening to God. We need to listen. in Charles Dickens' Hard Times, the main character's name is Professor Gradgrind. It's a great name, isn't it? He assumed that he had the best system for teaching children. Give them just the facts. He sounded a lot like Detective Friday from that show, or the Dragnet, remember? Just the facts, ma'am. No imagination, because that won't teach you anything. So he has this little girl, and he has this son who he thinks is going to be his successor, and all of his attention's on the son, and the son dies, and then he has this little girl who is enamored with imagination and playtime. See, boys don't need to play. Children don't need to play. Whew. But he was convinced he was right, and he wouldn't listen to anybody, and because of it, his daughter was dying inside. Are we listening? Are we listening? And again, I'm not just talking about reading the Bible, because, man, we need to do that. Please don't get me wrong. We have got to read God's Word. Are you listening? Because here's what we do. We pick up the Word of God, and we say, okay, God, I already know what this says, but let's prove it. I don't think that's listening. And sometimes I think we're a lot like that guy at the beginning who's just saying this all the time, saying this, okay, God, let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you what you mean by this. I was studying with this young man, and we were discussing the oneness of God. And I took him to Philippians 3, where it talks, or Philippians 2, actually, where it says that Jesus, even though he was equal with God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. And I said, so in your concept of oneness, how does that work? And he looked at the passage again, and he looked at me, and he says, I don't know, but I do know that it'll prove what I believe. Are we guilty of that? Are we guilty of approaching God's Word, already our minds already made up, determined we know what He's going to say? Or are we picking this up saying, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. Open my ears. Because when I talk, I want to speak clearly. I want all of the bonds taken away. I want to be set free to talk about who you truly are. And I cannot do that if I do not listen. And listening will help us to grow. Friday night, I was talking to a group of probably about 40 kids at YCC. And afterwards, somebody came up to me and said, I'm not sure you should have said it that way. I said, I was talking about love. And I said, sometimes love has got to smack you around a bit. Okay. Now, in this audience, that would be an okay thing to do. To those kids, not so much. Because that's their life. They have parents who literally smack them around. My first reaction, because you see, I thought I had done some pretty clever things Friday night. My first reaction was to get unhappy. But over the weekend, I've done some listening. And realized they were right. If we don't listen, we're not ever going to grow. We're not ever going to learn. We're not ever going to grow and become closer to our God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we approach each other, I can guarantee you that in this room we have some differences of opinions. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, yeah. When we approach each other, when we come to each other and we hear those differences, are we actually listening, or are we doing what we so often do, formulating our arguments, bolstering our attack? I'm not saying you have to agree. that's not the point. Of course, there are going to be some things we don't agree with. But we need to listen. And may God open our ears. You know the old saying, God created you with two ears and one mouth. Now, we often get that reversed. We need to do a lot more listening than we do talking. Verse 36. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Gave them orders means to command and to warn. And I believe Jesus was serious about this. I think he knew they weren't going to listen. But see, I think he's in the ministry and is part of his ministry where he wants alone time with his disciples. That's why he's in the Decapolis in the first place. And he knows. He knows that they're not going to listen, but he desperately wants them to leave him alone so that he can teach his disciples there's things they need to know before he goes to the cross. But the more he tells them, the more they talk about it. Widely means abundantly. The more abundantly they proclaim. Now try to look at it from their point of view. Can you imagine? The next day, this guy's walking down the street with a group of friends, and all of a sudden he stops and says, "Whoa, do you hear the birds?" And they're like, "Yeah, we hear them every day. They're kind of annoying." He's like, no, you don't understand. Yesterday, I could not hear the birds. Now, if they're his friends, they know that's true. And they're like, "Whoa, wait a minute. You can hear what happened. Oh, let me tell you, there's this guy named Jesus. He opened my ears." And then it's going to hit them. "Oh, wait a minute. Yesterday you couldn't talk very well either, but now you can." Can you imagine them not talking about this? They more abundantly, they want to tell people what Jesus has done for them. They are astonished. And the utterly astonished means overwhelmed or outside of oneself. Or as my Dutch Bible puts it, buiten zichzelf. You guys caught that, didn't you? I'll translate because I don't want to speak in tongues without translating. That means outside of themselves. You see, they were so amazed. And here's the amazing thing. Why is it that we're not so amazed by what Jesus does? Why is it that we're not outside of ourselves with what Jesus has accomplished in our lives? He's done everything well, beautifully, correctly. The deaf can hear. The mute can speak. Now, let's go back to the spiritual application. See, if you are a Christian, then Jesus is in the process of opening your ears. He is in the process of loosening your tongue so that you can speak clearly about who God is. Now, if that's the truth, why is it that we're not outside of ourselves going, "Yes, I can speak clearly now"? Why is it that we're not telling people that Jesus opened our ears? Why is it that we're not jumping up and down like this guy on the thing? No, that was this guy up here. Why is it that we're not so overwhelmed and excited? Only you can answer that. Maybe you are. I pray you are. Everybody shows excitement in different ways, and that's okay. But here's what I know. Yesterday, my ears were closed more than they are today. And today, I can speak more clearly about my God than I could yesterday. And that's true every day that God wakes me up. That's exciting stuff. And the only way that can be true is if I am actually listening. And I believe God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. through his word, through his creation, and through people. And sometimes even people who don't truly know him. Are you listening? Because the only way that God can loose the bonds is if you allow him to open your ears. There's a lot of people that claim to be experts about all kinds of stuff. Doesn't make it so. When people ask us about this God we worship, we ought to have a good answer for him. Because we're listening. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. We want to be a congregation that listens to each other, that is trying to understand. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree, because we're not. But hopefully we are listening. If you want to know more about our God, whatever your need, we invite you, come as together we stand and sing.